Hey everyone, welcome to this edition of Pulling on Heaven. I am your, I guess, co-host. Is that what I am? I guess, Steve Blanton. I'm here with our beloved pastor, Gary Zamora, who is so gracious to have me on and have these conversations with him, which are just, you know, I hope everyone out there watching gets a lot out of this because I know that I get a lot out of this. And so if nobody watches this, I still think this is time well spent. You had said something, Pastor, before we kind of came on the broadcast, and you said, now we're worshiping because we're starting to talk about really crazy things.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite things to talk about is the crazy things. And you're always stir that up in me. And to talk about the kingdom of God and talk about worshiping him in a way that we start going beyond what our religion has taught us, beyond what our relationships that we've had and into new ways of who God is, not new ways in some crazy esoteric new age way, but there's no way that we in our own selves can know the fullness of God completely without going further and further into him, because that's how much he is. He's everything. And so he's got always something more to teach us and show us as we draw into him.
You're doing it right now. You're doing it again. See, you're worshiping. And worship is really exactly that. You're worshiping him. It's not just when we raise our hands in church or, you know, we sing a song, and those are all parts of us declaring the Lord. But worship is where you begin to, you think crazy. Yeah. Crazy meaning God could do any of this.
Anything.
But revelation as to who he is comes in when you say, he's going to do it through me. God is going to do it through me. That's the unity, coming into the union of the Father, because you worship God and you're saying, I'm not big enough to hold him back. And if I'm not big enough to hold him back, and because God is so God, he's going to do it through me because he made me. Worship, adoration, absolute surrender to the idea, the authority, and a willing heart to acknowledge you are Lord. And there isn't anything I could imagine that you can't do, but you can do things I couldn't imagine. So kind of until we breach the idea of what we think God could maybe do through us, and we start really believing that he can be God through us, only God is God, but that he is so God that he can revive dry, dead bones. You know, they can cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, and he can do more than that. Like Jesus said, all you've seen me do, I'm going to do, but more than you could think or imagine. Well, things you haven't even seen me do, you'll do. That's God saying, I want you to think this way. The reason is because that's worship. When we just acknowledge God as Lord, meaning ruler overall, and then not ruling at a distance, you have to keep in mind who God is. He is love, and love constantly draws you in. And that's what we've been talking about, the love of God that just draws us into the nature of who he is, and not just God in all his greatness and glory standing here saying, just worship me. You can never get close enough. You can never really have any of this, but just worship me. It'd be kind of like, you know, your mom or your wife making this great dinner and saying, smells great, right? Looks great, right? Don't touch it. You know, don't touch it. I mean, you may get don't touch it until it's set on the table.
Yeah.
But once it's on the table, everyone is invited to eat. And that's worship, when you just are in such adoration, such honor of the Father, and not just that he's God in the distance, but that he's God up close because he's omnipresent. Not just I'm with you, but Jesus said, I in you and you in me. Okay, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in the vine. And that's where God wants us to go. That is worship. He's all power. We don't talk about any other power, like this power is trying to stop me here. No, I worship God. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. How could I please the Lord? I worship him. I give him all praise, all honor, and all glory goes to God. Not my past, not my present, not my sins, not my weakness, not my flesh, not a devil or an enemy or evil people. God is all in all and through all. When we become saturated with the idea that God is Lord, he's good, he's love, he's present with us, he's not far from us, he's omnipresent, omni-loving, omni-gracious, omni-good, then that's worship. You're totally saturated, baptized in the idea of who God is, and then he begins to reveal that. That's when your mind changes. Struggles and things lose their hold because we are no longer holding on to them. Worship.
And that's really the point, isn't it? Because it's not like, you know, it's, on the one hand, you could go, okay, so God is all about us worshiping him. But it's not like God's this narcissistic being who's sitting there who he's complete. He doesn't need our worship. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need our or probably even desire our worship from the standpoint of, I need you to tell me how great I am.
Yeah.
It's about what it does in us.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, his response to our sin, the wages of sin is death. It doesn't mean God is looking at it going, you shouldn't have done that and I don't like it, so you're going to die. No, what God is saying is that kills you, kills your mind, kills your spirit. You know, it's just like eating poison. That will kill you and that will separate you from me. I mean, God says, I don't like you anymore. No, it means God is saying it's separating you from who I am and I created you to live in the nature of who I am. So you're separating yourself from who I am with your sin, your doubt, your unbelief. But God's response was, even though you've done all that, you've drank all the poison, you've done all the wrong, here's my response. I love you. I want to draw you close to me. The word says in the Old Testament, he said, I spread out my arms. He said, I would have embraced you, but you wouldn't. And God has to be loved in order for us to know the love of God. And he's given us that ability in sharing his word. He says, it is impossible to deny me. I've made it impossible for you to deny that I am God. You can't deny that I'm God. He says, because everything around you, the heavens, the stars, the moon, all that I have created, he said, it makes itself known. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures say here, it says, for his invisible attributes, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without, the people, everyone is without an excuse. And he says this, but even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or honor him as God or gave thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. The short of it, I was present for you to know, to acknowledge, but you decided to acknowledge yourself, to not acknowledge your wants, your needs, your wishes, instead of letting me be the fullness of who I've created you to be, and you distanced yourself from me. And I made it clear. I mean, who can explain the heavens of God? No one. You know, you want to talk about an explosion. Well, okay, the explosion came from what? Everything, every action and reaction comes from some action. Yeah. Every law comes from a lawgiver. Life comes from someone that gives life. I mean, creation comes from a creator. So God's saying, you may not know who I am, but I've made it evident that I am. If you'll honor me and you'll worship me, not even knowing who I am, just declaring the God of this, make yourself known to me. You know, there's not a specific prayer you have to pray. Religion teaches you that, but God doesn't. He just said, come to me. He said, and I'll give you rest. I'll teach you who I am. I'll make myself known to you. God is far more eager to make himself known to us than mankind is to know him. And in God, in that, everything you're looking for, everything you could fathom in the deepest recesses of your mind is there and far, far, far beyond. But you have to be willing to acknowledge he's God and you're not, that he's Lord and you're not, and that he loves you so much he'll give you a life beyond your imagination. He is all things. What could he possibly need from man? One thing, he needs to love, because that's who God is and that's what he does.
One of my favorite verses that has been most revelatory to me, I think, kind of before I met you, that helped prepare me to begin to embrace the revelation of freedom that you preach of his sovereignty and the freedom we have in him is Psalm 18, in which it's David is crying out to the Lord for help. And it says, and the Lord came to him clothed in the clouds of darkness. Yeah. And he said, and so I praised him. And because the word praise in Hebrew, I learned, meant to enlighten, to shine a light. So it was like he called for help and then help showed up, but it didn't look like help. it was this cloud of darkness coming at him. Yeah. And it's like, so it's almost like things just got worse. But it was the worship, it was the praise of God in the midst of it. Then he was illuminated and said, you know what? That cloud's not coming against me. That cloud is God coming for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's that transformation of our thinking that I think worship does for us that allows us to see the world really as it is, to see God as he is, and to see how he's created this world as it is, so we can walk in a victory that we would otherwise not think we're walking in.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well, God is so God. I've said that for a long time. He's good, but he's just so God. He's so everything. And I mean, think about it. We have an imagination, but don't you think God exceeds that? We know what we want, but how many times have we prayed for something or wanted something? We got it, but it's never enough. It's just never, it could always be a little bit better, a little bit more. Thank God he's so far beyond that. And when God brings us or brings an awareness to us of who he is, a lot of times it looks totally different than we would imagine. Well, the scriptures tell us that. It says, I'll do exceeding. And when something exceeding comes your way, you may think it is coming after you instead of coming for you. You know, it's coming against you instead of something that's going to help you. Because our minds can really be darkened with ideas, lifestyles we live, things we our doubts, our disbeliefs, traditions, religions. God's so good and great. Sometimes he just looks a whole lot different than we think he does. But if you worship, through praise, he becomes enlightened to us. So does he become more light? No, our minds walk away from darkness. We tend to walk in dark shadows. You know, we feel most comforted, we think, when certain things are hidden. But the light of God illuminates not just who we are and how we are, but how we're created and who he is in us. Simply worship and praise illuminates our mind. It's like it takes the shutters up, and we're able to see God for who he is as he reveals himself to us. And even the natural mind, the word says, is enmity against God. We can't imagine. I mean, we honestly, in the true perspective, we imagine God sometimes to be a mean, hateful, evil God when he's everything but that. Kind, loving, gentle, patient, peaceful, good, wonderful, glorious. He's everything good and exceeding our imagination. Praise and worship is extolling all that honor to God. The word says there is no darkness in him, but he can walk. The word says he's clothed in darkness. Well, it doesn't mean he's walking around necessarily in a dark shadow. It means that we can't see him. It looks like a cloak around him. Yeah. But when the revelation of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts, you start seeing God, life, in a different way. And consequently, your life appears to be transforming. What is really happening is we're seeing the true light, the purpose of our lives, where God has allowed us to be, what he's allowed to be around us, so we could learn who he is. And you know, sometimes we're the most powerful when we are just driven to the point that we are desperate to believe God for something because we can't do it. Sometimes one of the first times that our eyes have been opened in a long time is when we find ourselves in that place. It doesn't have to be that way. No. If we'll become worshipers every day. It's not an effort. It's not a work. We're just realizing our potential, our call, our purpose. I'm a worshiper. I'm going to turn that worship to God. I'm not going to talk about any evil power that's trying to get me, some devil that wants to put me down, because that's giving some honor and praise to a darkness. My mind's going to stay clothed in darkness. I'm not going to see God for who he is. He's a holy God. He wants us to worship him, so our eyes are open to who he is. Worship opens your eyes. It illuminates your mind. It drives darkness out of your mind, doubt, fear. It makes us a new creature in Christ, and it is an illuminating power.
Yeah, well, it strikes me as you were just saying that, the thought of one of the reasons why God hates idolatry, okay, is not just that you're ascribing power to an entity that doesn't have power. He's all power. So that's probably the biggest reason. But if you think about it, what is an idol besides that? It's a it's a physical, in the person, visual representation of your whatever power that is.
Yeah.
And God says, that's not who I create. That's beyond it not being me, but that's not the nature of me. I'm in your circumstances. I'm in the events of your life. I'm in everything about you that I want you to worship and identify me in. I'm not meant to be some easy thing or some simple, this is what I boil down to. Yeah. You know,
right,
and so it's like beyond just the power, there's just that God is not a nature of something to be put on a shelf, even if that nature was full power.
Yeah.
That's not who and what he is. And so there's no way to know him or to worship him in the visual and in the obvious. It's all in the non-obvious. It's all in the unseen. It's all in the mystery that we discover who he is when we worship him in that.
Oh, that you nailed it. God is more than we would see if we could see God ourselves.
Yeah.
He's so beyond that.
That's a better way of seeing it.
No, you just said that, but it's God in his nature.
Yeah.
And again, I keep going here. God's saying, let me be God in you. Let me reveal myself through you. Just believe me. And it's that faith. That's the creatures we are that God said, this is how I'm going to reveal myself to heaven and earth. Through faith, when man just turns his heart and his mind over to believe me because I am, and then you know the I am. That's what he told Moses, just go tell him, go tell Pharaoh I am. And Moses, you know what had to happen first? Moses had to believe God was I am. And in that worship, not I figured this out, you know, as a race of people that think sometimes we're so intelligent, and if we could just figure it out, that just makes it better. And God is so beyond our ability to put, you know, connect the dots and figure out who he is, not realizing if we could do that, then we're not looking at God. We're looking at something else, because God is beyond the points of reference, you know, the us connecting the dots and figuring it out in the natural mind. And he told us that. He said, to be carnally minded is death. You know, it's like creating an idol. What it is? It's a distraction from reality. That's what it is. It's a distraction from the truth, from the life. And what Jesus said is, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You worship an idol, you worship a non-reality. So you're not going to know the life I want to give you, the truth that I am, and the peace, the power, the joy, everything that makes us whole and complete as an individual. And in worship, what is worship again? It's where I extol all honor and all power, ascribe all power, honor, and glory to God and God alone, nothing else, not what I've done or what I didn't do. There's therefore no condemnation in this world of worship. So I can't talk about what I didn't do and I should have done. And I just worshipers. It's a simple language.
Yeah.
It's a simple life. Jesus, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'm going to show you how to rest in me. Doesn't mean we become non-productive, that we're not active. It means we become very active in reality and what is real, what makes us joyful, peaceful, happy, powerful, influential, touching lives, making a difference, knowing what peace is, walking in joy, laying down our weapons of warring against darkness and walking in light so darkness can't find you. I mean, it's just such an illuminating world. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love the scripture that says his word is not burdensome to us. It's a joy. That's worship. When we think like that, Abraham, out of a land of idol worshipers, not brought up in the traditions of the law of God.
Him,
no.
Yeah.
Comes and God tells him to do something. I mean, something incredible. You're going to have a son, even though you're, you know, and so he waits. What's God doing? Waiting for, you know, another year to pass. God's moving in the man's heart, because until you can believe, if God says you're going to have a baby as a baby, it takes no faith. You have a baby. But walking in a time where you're having to believe God is doing so much more in you than you could possibly fathom in the deepest recesses of your mind. God's doing something. What is he doing? He's enlightening your heart and your mind so you're learning to trust him implicitly, totally and completely. That's life. That's worship. That's power. When we walk in those challenging times, James says, count it all joy when your faith is tried, because it's going to bring completeness. So you're entire, complete, and perfect. Who is that? God. God in you. So you lack nothing. And that's what God is doing in us, and that's worship. He calls us to these points. Oh, it's so hard. It's so bad. No, instead of saying that, say, I worship you, Lord. You can say it's hard. Well, it's harder to wrestle through a time without worship than it is to walk in a trying time with worship. Worship is an enlightener. It enlightens your heart, your mind. You know, it's just like a shot of joy and peace. It's like Novocaine when there's pain. You know, it's not so much that it's numbing you to reality, but it's giving you relief from pain in revealing reality. You're blessed. You're chosen of God. This is the greatest season of our lives. I quote that every day of my life. This is the greatest season of my life. It's a platform. It's a foundation that I choose to stand on, because I believe that is worship.
Yeah, that is it. That is like the ultimate declaration of worship.
Yeah, it is. You know?
And I think about, well, who was the greatest worshiper who ever lived? It would have to be Jesus himself. And it's interesting, when we think traditionally of what worship is, and again, not taken away from singing and art and other ways that we worship in that
sense.
Well,
that's expression. Of worship.
Right. Uh-huh. But Jesus was the ultimate worshiper by living that life in which he attributed to the Father everything.
Everything.
All those things that you were just saying about what you lay down the weapons, you lay down the contention, you lay down the striving, the trying against everything. That was the life that Jesus led. He led a perfect life of worship. So being a worshiper is so much beyond how we express ourselves.
Yes.
It's really the being and the way that we live our lives.
Yeah. How can we know Christ when he's life if we don't live Christ? There is no way. How can we know truth except we live in truth? What is truth? God is truth, and there is no lie in him. How can we walk in the light? God is light, and in him is no darkness, no none at all. How can we worship the ever-present God if we think he's not here? Because he's omnipresent. He's everything and complete. It's our doubt blinding our eyes, poking our eyes out because of whatever it is, putting blinders over our eyes, and then blaming God that we can't see him, cursing the darkness, angry at the trying of our faith when God's saying, I'm showing you who you are. I haven't, you know, he didn't come to hurt us. He came to help us, to set us free, to deliver us, but to share himself with us, to make known. Jesus, he would say things like, the words I speak, they're not my own. They're my Father's who sent me. I believe we can say that. I do. Absolutely. Say it. The Absolutely. Word I speak is not my own. I believe we can know anything we need to know. But when people revert to what they didn't know, what they couldn't do, that trying time, they couldn't figure it out. Now you're a worshiper of the problem. You've made another idol. It may be an idol you hate, but nonetheless, you've made one and you're worshiping it. What is an idol? Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The word says, bring that into captivity, and in so doing, then you're able to take dominion over the situation. Worship, worship, worship. God, you're everything. You're all good. Jesus say, the works I do, they're not my own. In my Father's, which sent me, he does them in me. He acknowledged the Father in him at all times, so much so that the religious folks got angry. Oh, he thinks he's God.
Right.
And he even says, don't you guys, even your own poets, say that you are God's, little g? He wasn't saying they were God, but he's saying, acknowledge where you came from. Can a seed say, I am the seed of a watermelon seed? Am I not part of that watermelon, that vine? I came from it. And in fact, that's who I am. If I die to myself, who I am is revealed. It's really dying to self-centeredness, to... And you're right, it takes power to live in the world. The world requires, it calls for dominion. It calls for the strong. You don't have to be physically strong or this metal genius or this giant. you can be who God has called you to be and know he's called you to be something. Just believe that. You don't even have to know what it is. You worship, and through worship, again, what is that? Extol all honor and praise and glory. All power belongs to you, O God. live your life, that God is Lord of your life. Something goes wrong, it goes upside down, it becomes hard. God, I don't understand it, but one thing I do understand is you're Lord of my life. All things have their point and purpose. All things have to work together for my good, no matter how bad it may feel. And you'll see the glory of God revealed. But when you're sitting there fighting it, struggling against it, you never see the greatness and the glory of God because you begin to extol praise and honor to another idol. You're not worshiping God. Now you're fighting against a problem and you'll never win because the word says tomorrow, what is it going to bring? Another what? Another issue, another question? Our answer when we call on God needs to be, and when God calls on us, our answer needs to be, I worship you. I praise you. Great is the Lord, and great is God to be praised. There's power that you couldn't imagine, a God that you've never seen in worship and praise.
Amen. I don't know that I can top that.
Well, thank you for joining us today. And listen, I would encourage you, you turn off, you go about your business if you're driving or you've been listening to us or you're watching. When you turn this off, turn your praise and your worship on. Just take a minute and say, God, I acknowledge I'm a worshiper and I'm a praiser. That's who I am. That's what I am. And that's what I want to be for the rest of my life because it's who you've created and called me to be and walk in the victory that's so freely given to you. And remember, this is the greatest season of your lives. God bless. Until next time.